You know, when I was your age, I was clueless. Completely. You guys are at Catholic Family Land. So chances of you being clueless, at least compared to what I was, is slim. I wasn't clueless by choice. I was clueless because I was a product of the public school system, CCD classes, and my parents thinking that I was being taught the faith when I wasn't. I remember going over Mrs. Gordon's house. She's trying to teach a CCD. She's just the mom of Bobby Gordon. I'm like running around. She loses track of me. I'm going through her kitchen cabinets looking for cookies. She's trying to teach kids and the other. It was a mess. I mean, that's how I learned religion, trying to find cookies. And so I find myself approaching adulthood with maybe a third grade understanding and comprehension of the faith. It was pathetic. But you guys and girls, I think you understand that there is a call on your life. A call. The very word has meaning. What does that word connote? Is that a big word? Sorry. What does it connote? What else does it mean? If I say there's a call on your life, you're like, okay. It means you have a destiny. You have purpose. You have a mission. Hello? Anybody home? Hi. Sorry, I don't mean to yell. I'm trying to wake myself up too. But I mean, that is awesome. I mean, that is a cool reality to think about. And you think about, I don't have a call on my life. It's just is me. You know, I just nothing special about me. Oh, really? Says who? Says who? Well, it says me. Okay, did you create you? No, I didn't think so. Your creator created you with purpose, mission, destiny. Do you care? I mean, some people don't. I'm not, you know. But hopefully everyone in this room does. When I was younger, they said, hey, Greg, you know, God wants you to be happy. I said, that's good. I do too. We're on the same page. And so I thought about it. I said, well, what's going to make me happy? Right? I told you I was clueless. So what do you think? What answers do you think I came up with? And I was sincere. What do you think I concluded? You can guess. There's like no wrong answer. Money. Well, if I had all the money I wanted, I could do whatever I wanted to do, then I would be happy. How many people here think that way? Come on, embarrass yourself. There you go. All right. It's common. It's very common. And so what did I do? I went to school. I got a degree. I started working. I went to school at night. I got another degree. Kept working. I went to school at night. I got a graduate degree. Got 3 degrees. I'm ready now. My career is growing every day. Check this out. This is not really actually all that great. But anyhow, I had one of the very first cell phones. You know what they looked like? They weighed 50 pounds and you carried them in a suitcase. I'm serious, 50 pounds. I mean, it was all battery. These things needed power to reach the one cell tower that was, I don't know, in the middle of the United States somewhere. And I loved it. You know what I used it for? Just to make plans for the weekend. It was provided to me by work. You know, I didn't have to pay for it, so that was all cool. But anyhow, I looked really cool. And it was back in the day where if you were on your cell phone, people were like, you're an idiot. Look at this guy. He thinks he's so important. It's like they were just jealous. Because I had one of the 150 cell phones in the United States. Anyhow, that's not a... The funny thing about that story is it really weighed 50 pounds. It was totally inconvenient. Anyhow, my point being, guys, is that my life was taking off. I was making strides. I was good at what I did. I was getting promoted. I was being advanced. I was making money now, back then, which is 20, almost 20 some odd years ago, what people are just making today. In other words, I was making good money back then, which is good money today, which is not really saying a whole lot either because wages haven't increased that well. But at any rate, I was making a very good living for a young man, single. I could do whatever I want, going out skiing, snowboarding. Actually, that's my snowboard right there. Had to retire it. It's an old Burton, man. That thing's sweet. I think you can still ride on that thing. Anyhow, all right, we'll talk later. I reached a point, even in my young life, early 20s, when I said, really? So this is it? I make money, I do whatever I want, and then I die. I make money, I make enough money, I can do whatever I want, and then I die. I mean, it was all about me. Which to you, it might sound like that's a pretty good deal, but I'm asking you to ask God for the gift of wisdom and understand it's very empty. And so, long story, a little shorter, I start reading books about the lives of the saints. I don't know why I did. Somehow I came across a book by St. Francis of Assisi, on St. Francis of Assisi. And I read the book, and you know what? I had two conclusions when I was done. You know what they were? One, wow, this guy is pretty impressive, and you know, some of the things he does. Number two, he's crazy. He's mentally imbalanced. I mean, impressive, but mentally imbalanced. Because normal people don't do that. But anyhow, I was impressed and I began to pursue it. And one day, after reading about the life of St. Francis, I read something. I came up the stairs because my bedroom was in the basement. You might ask, Greg, why was your bedroom in the basement? Another story. We don't have time for it right now. But my parents recognized that my life was in the basement. So they said, well, Greg, you can live in the basement because I don't want you disturbing the other kids who live upstairs in the house who are not in the basement in their lives. Anyway, I wasn't a really bad kid, but I was not being a good example to my younger siblings. There's seven of us. And I said, hey, Mom, check this out. I finally understand the communion of saints. This term, communion of saints. It means that there are you've got the saints in heaven, right? And they're up there and they're praying for us. They're already in heavenly glory. Their deal is done. And they're now pulling for us down here on earth. And here we are struggling, trying to get through this world, and we can pray and ask them for prayers, and they can intercede for us. And we can also pray for the poor souls in purgatory, because there's also these other souls in this other place called purgatory. But we're all connected. We're in communion. We're praying for them. They're praying for us. We're helping them. They're helping us. Wow. And she looked at me. And she said, Greg, you should be a priest. The church needs good men. And I heard the voice of God, and I was like, it like hit me. And I remember like stepping back, like I said, Mom. And it's like, I mean, it was my mom's voice. It wasn't like, Greg. I'd be like, Mom, you need more sleep. But I understood God to speak through my mother and say, Greg, I want you to think about serving me with your whole life. You come, follow me, leave everything else behind. How do you think I responded? No way. God, I said, Mom, no. Mom, you know that the only thing in life I'm looking forward to is getting married. You know what excited me? I mean, I remember David Gonzalez in sixth grade looking at me saying, Greg, you should be a comedian. He thought I was really funny, and I was. I wasn't funny. I was actually just a wise guy. But that was funny. But what struck me about that when David Gonzalez said that to me was like, wow, David has no idea who I am. Because I, at heart, am a very serious person. Which, unfortunately, some people found out about the hard way. What I mean is, you know, I can be intense. And, you know, focused. At any rate, because I said to my mom, you know, the only thing I cared about in life, in my family, if someone asked me, what do you want to do with your life? The honest answer, nothing. Well, what do you want to be? Nothing. Wait, don't you want to? No. I mean, no. The only thing I cared about was who was this special person, this woman who I was going to partner with throughout life, get to know intimately, and forge a future with. I don't know. It sounds a little corny. I mean, I wasn't like romantic, like buying roses for my mystery woman or something. And I was actually dating. I dated a girl from 15 to 19. We thought we were going to get married. Another long story along with the basement one. But anyhow, but a good one. We had a beautiful relationship. And so I knew what it meant to be in love. We had a very mature relationship. It was beautiful. It was pure. And God said, come follow me. Today, for those of you who are interested, at 3:30 behind the chapel at the park, I'll be talking more about how to discern a vocation, some specific things in more detail, because we don't have time this morning. But what I want to leave with all of you, because we have some others who are going to come out and talk about how to discern, some things to think about when discerning marriage, some things to think about when discerning a religious vocation. But for me, I want you to know this. The key to discerning your vocation is, number one, be in a state of grace. Be close to God. Have a prayer life. You're not going to be able to hear God's voice if you're not, A, in a state of grace. And he can still hit you over the head, but I mean, that's the way this is supposed to work. You're actually in a state of grace. You want to be close to him. You're trying to be close to him, at least wherever you're at in life. You're praying. You're receiving the sacraments as the church requires us. Every Sunday, holy days of obligation, that type of thing. You're going to confession when you need to. And sometimes even when you don't. Not such a bad one. When I say you don't, you're not accusing yourself of being in mortal sin, but you want to clean up your soul nonetheless. Very good practice. Recommended always by the church. And the next thing I would say is this, and this is equally important. Stop stressing out about it. Don't stress. A 15-year-old saying, oh, I'm all stressed out. What's my vocation? I say, you're 15. I mean, seriously, it's okay. It's good. It's good to have it on your radar. I'm not knocking someone who's feeling that way, but I'm saying be 15. Enjoy the ride. Your life is adventure. You're saying you want to know God's will. You want to do God's will. You want to, whatever it is you're open to. Well, great. What more can you do at this point? Fulfill your daily duty. That's how you're going to prove your love for God and prove that that's the desire of your heart. You're going to be a good student. You're going to be a good brother. You're going to be a good son in the family. You're going to be a source of unity for your family. Not the other side of your personality, which is the other way. Not good. Right? Good friend, good parent, good citizen. All of these things. You're going to be fulfilling your duty. You're going to be showing to God that you hear his message. You understand his desire for you. And that you're open to whatever it is in life as he reveals it. And he will reveal it to you in his time. And you're going to praise him for it. You're going to honor him for it. And you're not going to stress out. Okay? So, it's good to want to know, but don't stress out. Now, look at me, right? I live a life where you guys come here for a week. I live here. You think this place is pretty cool? So do I. I get to live here. I love that. I remember walking down the steps one time at a retreat thinking I saw statues around this retreat center. I was like, I'd like to live in a place that had statues. Guess what? We got a lot of statues. Big one going up on the hill here in a minute. I get to go to Mass every day. I don't have to run around, try to figure out how it's going to happen, where I'm going to go. I'm up late. It's part of my life. Finding a priest for confession, not a problem. Hey, Father Clem, what are you doing? You got a minute? As a matter of fact, it happens every week. He comes in the chapel forever. Whoever wants to go, he's there. My life, does my life has meaning and purpose? I'm giving my whole life to try to help families be united, be holy families, grow in holiness, grow in truth, grow together, get to heaven. That's a lot of purpose. Which is not to say there isn't purpose in every other state in life, but I just want to let you know that sometimes we just focus on everything you're going to have to sacrifice to live a celibate way of life instead of focusing on everything you're getting. And I know when you're younger, it's harder to have that focus, but I'm telling you, boy, right now, I'm growing in appreciation of it every day. So don't be afraid and don't stress. Dr. Corey Maloney is going to come out here and talk to you for a minute about discerning a call to marriage. Let's hear it for Dr. Maloney.
Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing? Y'all look nice and rested after all your sleep last night. Looking good. Praise God. So thank you, Greg, for letting me be out here to talk for a few minutes about the great gift of marriage. So I've been married for 17 years. Praise God. Yes. And I thank God that my wife is very forgiving because I mess up all the time and she forgives me over and over again. And my kids, they forgive me over and over again because I messed up all the time. So praise God for forgiveness. So I just want to echo what Greg said about don't be anxious. All right. As I look around this room, I see incredibly beautiful, blessed, gifted people. All of you. Even you. And you, and you. Now, you're just amazing, and God has serious plans for each one of you. And he knows what the plan is for each one of you. And to get, so I have a lot of things in mind, a lot of things I want to share, but I don't have that much time. All right, so your vocation is not just if you're going to be married or be a priest or be a Catholic choir person. Your vocation is right now. You have to live every day to prepare yourself for what God has for you in the future. He uses your gifts, your talents, your abilities, the things you love, the things that make your heart happy. He uses those things to form you and prepare you for the future. Whenever I look back on my life and I think about my past and I think about the different jobs I've had, the different relationships I've been in, the different things that I've succeeded in, things that I've failed, those things all prepared me for who I am today, to be the father I am, to be the husband I am, to be the professor that I am. All those things prepare me for who I am today. So my vocation, your vocation is not some mystery that you have to kind of figure out. It's what you're being formed in. So whatever you love, whatever you're passionate about, whatever makes your heart happy, whenever you're sitting in your room and you're praying, you're reading scripture, whatever your heart feels, whatever you love is what God is preparing you for. So embrace every moment of all of those things. Embrace every relationship that you have. So there's no better preparation for marriage than having relationships with friends, with your parents, with your siblings, just to practice love, because to be married is to love constantly, to love your spouse more than yourself, to love your kids more than yourself, to give yourself completely and totally for the other. And so nothing can prepare you more for that than loving in your families, to love your siblings who are often unlovable, right? Don't deserve to be loved. To love your parents who, it's hard to love them sometimes too, right? So to really practice love, because that's how you form yourself to be married. There's a prayer that I love from St. Anthony of Padua. I won't read it all to you now, but it's called Be Satisfied. And I encourage you to look that prayer up. Just Google Be Satisfied, St. Anthony of Padua. And he says, don't be anxious. Don't worry. And he says, I'm not going to give you your spouse. I'm not going to give you the one you're supposed to marry until you're satisfied with me first. So be satisfied with God first, to be one with God, to know him in scripture, to know him in the sacraments, to know him in one another, to know him in your, to see him in your parents, to try to be him to other people. I always say that the goal is to see Christ and be Christ, right? You should try to see Christ in every person. Every encounter you have with someone, you should see Christ in them, right? You should see Christ in me right now, if that's possible. I see Christ in all of you right now as I look around at all of you, all your beautiful faces. You know, so you have to see Christ and be Christ. And the hardest place to do that is in your family, right? With your annoying siblings, your annoying parents. Yeah, so you have to be Christ and see Christ in all those relationships. And that's how you form yourself for marriage. So quick plug for marriage. Marriage is amazing. Marriage is awesome. Marriage is beautiful. It's a sacrament. And all sacraments are filled with graces, right? So me as a fallen man, as a man who sins and makes lots of mistakes, I can never succeed in being a husband and being a father. It's only with God's grace that he pours upon me through the sacrament of marriage. It's just like in baptism, your heart and your soul is forever changed. You're transformed into a Christian. You can never go back. You're a Christian forever, right? They say your soul has a mark in it that makes you a Christian for all of eternity. So in the sacrament of holy orders and the sacrament of matrimony, my heart, my soul is forever changed. I'm married forever to my wife, my beloved wife, and she's married forever to me. Unlucky for her, awesome for me, right? So I got the better end of that deal. Praise God for that. But my heart and my soul are forever changed, and we're given all the graces we need to pour upon us like a big waterfall, all these graces on the sacrament of matrimony that we need to succeed, to be able to be the loving husband, loving father, to be constantly forgiving, constantly sacrificing for the gifts of the family. So a little bit to echo also what Greg said, it's a life of sacrifice, right? My whole life is given for the other. And the goal of this life is to die, right? In our body, we are to die more and more every day. Every day is one step closer to our death, right? Our bodies are dying. They're getting older. My body's older than your body. Greg's body's older than my body. So as we get older, right, we die more. We die more and more each day. But also in the spiritual life, right, we die more and more to ourselves each day, right? So I used to have lots of fun toys. I used to have a really sweet 1988 Ford Thunderbird that was really fun. I used to love to race it and to drive real fast and do stupid things. But you have to die to those stupid things that don't matter in life. And you have to, you know, get a giant van, because you have to have a van now because you have all these kids that have to fit in the van. You can't drive the Thunderbird anymore, right? And that's a death to self, right? I come home from work, I'm tired, I just want to sit down and watch some TV or read a book. That'd be so nice to sit there and read a book. But no, there's dishes to do. There's kids to help. There's sports to do, right? So there's always things you have to do every day to take care of your family and serve your family. And there's babies crying and diapers changing. So there's always things you do to die to yourself every day. So practice that death now, right? So start that process of realizing that everything's a sacrifice, and it's okay to sacrifice. And if you're tired, you were at school all day, or you're doing work and chores all day, and you come home, and there's things to be done around the house, die to yourself and help, right? That's the way you form yourself for whatever capital V vocation God's calling you to be, whether it be a priest, whether it be a sister, whether it be a lay person, whether it be a married person. So to die to yourself each and every day, and that's really what you're called to do. So I just want to close with the end of this prayer, this Be Satisfied prayer. And one other thing, pray for your future spouse. So you should be praying for your future spouse every day. Every day, wake up in the morning, and we kind of joke, we pray the rosary sometimes, and we pray for our kid's future spouse. You know, we say, we offer this Hail Mary for, you know, so-and-so's future spouse. And it's kind of funny to think about what your future spouse is doing, if you're called to be married, what your future spouse is doing right now. Maybe they're in this room. Maybe they're, you know, sitting somewhere. Maybe they're on a cruise somewhere right now. But to pray that they are being formed to be your spouse, to be formed to get you to heaven, right? Because my wife is supposed to get me to heaven. Supposed to get her to heaven. And so you have to be praying right now for them, that they're getting all the graces and spiritual guidance they need, that their parents are loving them, the parents are treating them right, their parents are helping them to be holy, to be a saint. Just like you're being formed, you know, pray that your spouse is being formed now too, because that's amazing. Isn't that crazy? Think about that. Your spouse is out there somewhere. If you're to be married, your spouse is out there somewhere, living with her family, having these good and bad experiences. Think about how amazing that is. All right, so the last part of this prayer here, it's really short. Anthony finishes and he says, "Dear one, I want you to have the most wonderful love. I want you to see in the flesh a picture of your relationship with me and to enjoy materially and concretely the everlasting union of beauty, perfection, and love that I offer you with myself. Know that I love you utterly. I am God. Believe in me and be satisfied. Thank you all. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Maloney. Now, Father Matthew Lee is going to quickly give us, oops, now I have two mics. He's going to very quickly give us a lowdown on what Holy Orders life is like.
She said quickly.
Yes, I did. Emphasis on the quickly.
Okay, so I'm supposed to tell you how I got to become a priest in 10 minutes. That doesn't work, so I'm going to skip some stuff, right? All right. Like most of it. We can chat later. I did not grow up in a Catholic home. I bumped into the church when I was 16. Ooh. Knocking around high school. I believe the term was enjoying the ride. I was enjoying the ride. And I ran into some people who could tell me what this was. Because when I was 7 years old, I saw somebody do that. And nobody could tell me what that was. Ooh, these people could. And then I started taking instructions with the local Catholic priest. It took a year. Wow. Every Thursday night. Priest was about 6'4" or so. Tall guy. Fantastic, fantastic personality. Wow. Father Earl O. Metz, rest in peace. And he taught me what the one holy Catholic apostolic faith is. Wow. And I was baptized Catholic on August 25th, 1985. I received my first communion that day. Because Catholic is just, wow. I received my first communion that day, first confession, and confirmation within 2 hours. Talk about an influx of grace, because God fills you. He grabs you by the soul and says, come here, I got something for you. That's what God does. Wow. And about 2 weeks later, the priest says to me, so, Matthew, did you ever think about becoming a priest? No. I've been Catholic for like 15 minutes. The problem with that is, once a priest asks you that question, you're no. The next time a priest asks you about that, you have to say yes, because you thought about it the first time. Oh, man. You weren't interested, but you thought about it. I worked odd jobs for a couple years out of high school, ran out of money for college, and joined the Air Force, and started globetrotting. Get that out of my system. Everywhere I went, Hawaii, Nebraska, Mississippi, Alabama, and Germany. Germany's cool. Germany's so cool place. Everywhere I went, the priest says, hey, did you ever think about being a priest? Oh, come on. Got so bad now. I'm driving home from Omaha, Nebraska, to my parents' house in Midwest Ohio. It's 801 miles from their driveway to mine. I stop halfway at Our Lady of the Snows in Belleville, Illinois, because I can get a room for $35. I get there at 3:30, having confessions at 4 and Mass at 5. The priest hears my confession, reaches into his pocket, and says, you ever think about it? Here's my card. Dude is never going to see me again. Doesn't know me from Adam, right? Oh. So I say to myself, maybe I'm choosing to ignore something all these people are seeing. Ooh. Adele, I should pray about this. So I took it to adoration, because in my parish in Omaha, they had perpetual adoration uninterrupted since 1956. There were so many people signed up, you had to take 1 hour a month, and somebody had to die for you to get onto the schedule. These people were serious. So I couldn't get a slot. I signed up to be the emergency sub. I said, you got an hour at 3 or 4 in the morning. Call me, because I go to work at 6 anyway. I'm up anyway. All right? They called me up. Can you take an hour? Sure. When? Now. Okay. Yeah, I go. I live 5 minutes from the church. Started praying before the Holy Eucharist, and that will change your life. It will. Because one day in Germany, before the Holy Eucharist, I says, okay, God, I know what I want. I've been in the Air Force for 12 and a half years. I'm going to take the 40% retirement at 15 years. I got orders to Florida to retire. And I got four fantastic job offers. Four. Looking at me. 4? That's 4 in Common Core math, right? One of those works. I got the world at my feet. But what do you want for my life? All these people are saying this. I should consider this. Do you, Jesus, want me to be a priest? And it is impossible to explain the phenomenon I experienced, but the Holy Spirit filled me in a way I'd never experienced before. Just absolutely overwhelmed me to the point I couldn't speak. I think that something like that happened to Mandy last night. I said, okay, well, then I made the deal with God. Careful making deals with God. I said, when I get out of the Air Force, I'll approach a seminary and we'll see. I got 2.5 years left, right? When I get out, gonna go to God on my terms. Well, you know that's not gonna work. So I go to the priest the next day. I said, you know, think about that college seminary thing you're talking about. Yeah, okay. So see me on Monday. Great. Saturday night, I went out to dinner, going over to some friend's house for dinner, because we went to 6 o'clock mass. We'd all go out to a German restaurant for dinner, right? Fill the place, like 30, 40 people. It's fast. Fabulous. And I says to these people, I'm going to go get some rosaries that I'd made for the Monday night prayer group. I'll be over at your house in 5 minutes. We'll drink coffee till midnight and sleep in, because we already went to mass. Okay. And their son, Alan, who's about that tall, wants to go with me. Now, this family had 5 boys, Alan, Jordan, Madison, Benjamin, Harrison. Oh, okay. Like more bars, right? Alan, the linebacker, says, I want to go. And his mom says, no, not tonight. That's important because they went to school right across the street from where I worked. Their mom was the youth chaplain at the airbase 10 kilometers away. So I would pick them up and drive them over to the chapel every day after school. Not tonight. 5 minutes later, a drunk driver broadsided my car and crushed my car around me. If there had been another person in the car, we'd both be dead. Ooh. What was that deal I made? Because the car wreck broke my rib and re-injured my back, and I couldn't carry the mobility gear anymore, and they boarded me out of the Air Force with a medical discharge. Have a nice life. Bye. You don't get a retirement. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Oh, lovely. They gave me a chunk of money, which is just enough to pay off my credit cards and buy me a new car. When you show up to seminary, you should have as little debt as possible and a reliable vehicle. God did it. Okay. I got to hold up my end of the deal because I think the last thing God wants on this earth is another priest. I think Satan tried to kill me that night. I believe it. My miraculous medal showed up really clearly on the x-rays. The Mother of God saved my life. Hail Mary indeed. So I said, I got to hold up my end of the deal. I have to go. I have to go. I got out of the Air Force on March 1st, 2002. I entered the seminary 8 months later. Never looked back. Because I said, I've got to give God a chance in my life. What I'd say to you is don't wait 15 years to give God a chance in your life. Don't stress over it, but give God the first hack at your life. Okay? If you're a young man, go to seminary, figure it out. If you're a young lady, go to convent, figure it out. You don't go there presuming you have to live that life. You go there to figure it out. And look at this, guys. And it works in a very parallel way for the ladies. If you go to the seminary, you have 7 years to discern a vocation. What is God asking me of my life? What does God have for me in my life? Is this it? If it is truly a vocation to the priesthood, that will manifest. If it's not, that also will manifest. Then you leave the seminary 6 years later with a master's of theology that you got for almost nothing. With a perfect theological perspective to look for Mrs. Wright. Whoa. And if she's not out there, then congratulations, you're going to live chaste single life. Because every person on this planet will end up in one of 4 categories, either ordained ministry, consecrated religious life, holy matrimony, or chaste single life. So if you go to seminary first, In 7 years, you got half the puzzle figured out, and you're only 24 years old, and you got a master's degree. Ooh. Wow. And then you get a marriage. You can be married 47, whatever, how many years that was. All right? A marriage that lasts. That's how you do it. So, holy orders is a calling from God to serve other people. The priest is for others, never for himself. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about getting you to heaven. The pastor is responsible for every soul in his parish, even the non-Catholic ones. So we pray every day for all of them. Because my job is to get them to heaven and to lead them there, even if they don't want to go. Did you ever try to get a three-year-old to go somewhere and they didn't want to go? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Sometimes it's kind of like that. People say, oh, but you have no family, Father. Don't you get lonely? Are you kidding me? I get to do this. No. No 2 days are the same. Got a busy day today, Father? Yes. What you got? I don't know. It's going to take all day. Happens every single day, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I'm over my 10 minutes, so I'm going to hand the mic off to somebody who knows how to turn it off.
Perfect. Yeah.